built in, lock in, strap in. It's the Fantasy Domination Podcast!
That's right, fantasy football fans. When you hear that music, it's time for Fantasy Football Domination. You give us 30 minutes, we will give you a championship. I'm the coach, 17-time fantasy champion just this past year alone, and I'm here with my best bud, Rusty, the man who brought fantasy football to Kazakhstan.
Howdy there, coach.
Howdy, Rusty. Why am I talking Southern Rusty? How are you doing?
Well, I'm doing pretty good. We just had the draft, and my goodness, I'm already thinking about what I'm going to do in my fantasy drafts this year, but I'm not doing a fantasy draft right now, because fantasy drafts right now, and especially for the draft, are stupid, coach. What do you think?
I think they're as dumb as doing 2021 mock drafts.
2021? I heard Kiper and Todd McShay are doing 2023 already.
Whatever keeps them in business, right? Because there's only so much time you can spend talking about what Kyler Murray's going to do. All right, folks. So you're tuning into the inaugural episode of the Fantasy Football Domination, or the Fantasy Domination Podcast. You know it's about football. That's why you're here. So let's tell you what this podcast is about. It is about how to dominate your fantasy league. We're going to give you tips. We're going to give you insight. We're going to give you all the information you need to destroy your opposition. But here's what we're also going to focus on. We're talking dynasty leagues. We're talking leagues that carry over from year to year. We are men of long-term commitment because you know what? Redraft leagues are for children. Ain't that right, Rusty?
They sure are, but I'm a little hesitant when you talk about commitment because I may have a few commitment issues. But either way, nothing to do with fantasy football right now because it's all dynasty leagues all the time when it comes to Rusty and the coach.
That is right, Rusty. So we are going to start with the draft. It's an exciting time for the NFL. It's an exciting time for fans. But if you're a fantasy football player, you want to pay attention and find out which guy's going to be warming your bench for the rest of this coming season.
Are you saying there's no surefire starters in this draft class in terms of fantasy performance there, coach?
I'm actually going to say there is one. There is one guy, which is great if you've got the 1.1 pick in your fantasy draft. But if not, well, you might be looking at a bench warmer.
Ooh, that's all right. It's all about the long game as far as we're concerned here.
So, with that said, let's jump right in. Quarterback, the position that generally, you know, as if you're looking at productivity from a rookie quarterback, hey, you are finishing in last place, my friend, and that's why you need to listen to this podcast. Rusty, what do you think? How many guys from this year's quarterback class are even worthy of a roster spot?
Well, that depends, coach. Are we talking about a start one league, a start two quarterback league, a super flex league, or like start five quarterback league? Because if we're talking about your standard start one quarterback league, I think I could count the number of quarterbacks on one finger, if that.
You know what, Rusty, bud? I'm going to say this. If you're starting five quarterbacks, there's still probably only one guy from this draft that you want sitting on your roster.
That is what we call a hot take.
That guy is, of course, Dwayne Haskins.
Wait, what?
No, it's not. No, it is not. The only quarterback, obviously, that you want to even think about is Kyler Murray. And for this year, I don't even think you want to consider him as a starter. What you want to be is, my team is terrible. I have no future. I'm going to stash Kyler Murray at the end of my bench and see what he does for next year. What do you think, Rusty?
That's right. I let's just, for a moment, let's take a moment to pull one out for the Josh Rosen era. It was over before it really got a chance to begin there, coach. I mean, you draft a rookie quarterback at 10 the year before, and next thing you know, you're so bad you pick number one overall and you take another quarterback. But at least he's going to I think it's a better place if you consider Miami better than Arizona.
Yeah, I mean, let's be honest. You know, Josh Rosen's tenure in Arizona was so tragic. Elton John is rewriting Candle in the Wind as we speak.
I can't wait to hear that. Always brings a tear to my coach. But I'm liking this Kyler Murray. I know He's not the tallest guy out there, but I know the NFL is looking for those shorter, quicker quarterbacks who can run now. He could put up a lot of fantasy points for you down the road, but my goodness, Arizona is going to be bad for a little while. Even though they drafted 500 wide receivers in this draft, and they have David Johnson, who's approaching 40 years old, I still am a little worried about how that's going to go for the next little while.
Exactly. So that's why, in the opinion of the Fantasy Domination Podcast, grab Murray, stash him on your bench, look at him for next year, and yeah, anybody else in this draft you want? Nope.
Nope.
Let's look at this. You want the backup quarterback for the Denver Broncos, Rusty? The answer is nope. You want the possibly starting quarterback for the Washington Racists? You want them, Rusty?
Uh-uh.
Nope. If you want a guy drafted from Duke in the top 10, do you want Zion Williamson? Yes, you do. Do you want Daniel Jones? No, you do not.
Oh, my goodness. Coach, you've won multiple championships, and you are an established football coach. What the hell are the Giants doing?
Well, you see, here's the thing when it comes to you know, player personnel and assessments and evaluations and all that. You want to see how a guy does in a legitimate, real game time scenario. You know, pro days, whatever, combine, whatever. None of that matters. So the Giants, they're smart, okay? You know what they did? They went to the Senior Bowl, and they watched a Duke quarterback in a glorified All-Star game. And you know what they came away with? That's the guy for us.
But they saw so much in those three series that they knew that it was over. Like, they closed up the books, didn't even bother to attend the combine. They knew that was their man right there. And I got to admire their commitment, Coach. I don't know if I admire their brains, but I should admire their commitment to the cause.
And more importantly, he should be nowhere near your fantasy roster. Even if you bleed giant blue, he should be nowhere near your fantasy roster.
Yeah, but don't forget, he's going to be throwing the ball eventually to Odell Beckham. Never mind.
Never mind. Oh, right. Yeah, we're going to get to that topic in another episode. Guys who helped their stock most in the offseason, and I'm going to tell you the answer right now, none of them are Giants. Ooh. Current Giants. All right, so that's enough time talking about quarterbacks. You know, it's, like we said, Murray might be good 2 years from now. It's not a good year for quarterbacks. So let's move on to the position where you need everything you can get, running back. This position, not bad, you know, some interesting potential. But what we don't have is we do not have a Saquon Barkley in this class, do we, Coach? Oh, Rusty, I'm the coach. That's going to take some getting used to.
I mean, I can be the coach if you want, but the only thing I ever really coached was a lingerie football team that one time, but I don't think that's appropriate to talk about on this podcast. There's only you don't have that generational Saquon Barkley type talent in this draft, but the guy at the top who's going to be that 1-1 that on a lot of people's ADP and mock rookie draft lists and whatnot that come out of the draft would be that one Josh Jacobs out of Oakland. And even better for him, you hate to see it, but with the Crow, Isaiah Crowell going down with that Achilles, he's done for the year. That just leaves one less guy for Josh Jacobs to have to jump over. If he wasn't your 1-1 before, I think there's a very compelling reason now for him to be your 1-1 now, if he wasn't already.
That's right. If you're in a dynasty league, the way you should be, and Josh Jacobs is not the number one pick, it means either some moron left a great player unprotected, or, oh, I don't know. Yeah, he's the number one guy, hands down. Crowell, I mean, yeah, might have been a first and second down, you know, carry stealer. That ain't going to happen. They brought back Doug Martin, apparently. He, you know, who knows if he'll even make the team in the end. You might worry about losing pass catches with Jacobs and on third down, but, I mean, at this point, it's not a stellar field. You know, there's not a Saquon Barkley. There's not a Nick Chubb in this class. There's not a, you know, I don't know. Who else did we get last year?
We got a lot of guys that were pretty good.
A lot of guys. Yeah, you know, you had your Saquon. You know, there's no Saquon this year.
He's not even the Darius Juice or guy. So how do you pronounce that guy's name there? He didn't play last year, so I couldn't really keep track. I never heard anybody say his name, and I'm from the South. We could call him Juice. We could call him Gas. We could call him Guas. I don't know.
I'm pretty sure it's Geis, but we're going to find out this year if he actually plays.
All right.
Hey, now, the excitement.
Now, Coach, I want to take a contrarian point for just a second. What would you say to the folks who are looking at N'Keal Harry with the New England cheating Patriots who drafted him very high to be their wide receiver to replace Josh Gordon? Some people think he might be the number one overall pick. I've seen him in some mock and rookie drafts going number one overall. What would you say to folks who are taking N'Keal Harry number one overall?
Well, the first thing I would say, Rusty, is that you can't read notes because we're not talking wide receivers right now.
I know, but we talk about the 1-1, and we'll people saying, you know, we'll talk about Josh Jacobs, but some people saying N'Keal Harry was up there too. I don't get ahead of myself, but I just want to know your thought, Coach, so in terms of just purely 1-1.
All right, well, Jacobs, we can be pretty sure what Jacobs is going to be. He's going to get the ball on first, second, and some third downs. He's going to be their bell cow pretty much from the beginning of the season as long as he can do the job. You know, that's what you want in a 1-1. Harry, on the other hand, there's an interesting concept. You've got a guy who's got size. He's got speed. He's got, you know, the ability to go up and get those balls. And he's playing for a team that does not use wide receivers that have those skills. You know, there's going to be passes up for grabs now that Gronk is gone. You know, who knows if Edelman can repeat what he did last year. This is a team that always seems to throw something new out there, so who knows. But if it's up to me and I'm picking, if I need a running back, I'm taking Jacobs hand down. And if I need a wide receiver, I don't even know if I'm taking Harry. You know, there's it's an interesting situation is what I would say.
That right there, that is a hot take. I like it. That's what you come here to the Fantasy Football Domination, Fantasy Domination Podcast for. I love it.
Oh, wait. You know what? That's not even a hot take. You want a hot take? I think Kerry's going to get 30 catches this year.
Ooh. All right, mark it down, folks. Mark it down.
If there's anything we have learned as fantasy football players, it's do not trust Bill Belichick. Because you go, I'm going to win with Sonny Michel this week, and suddenly Rex Burkhead is getting 3 touchdowns.
I lost like 5 championship finals last year on that kind of stuff, so I hear you. I hear you.
Yeah, see, I had Rex Burkhead, so that is why I won multiple titles last year.
That's why you were a 17-time champion last year, Coach.
Exactly. So
back to the running backs.
Yeah, we'll get back to running backs. We'll come to wide receivers in a minute. All right. By my count, there's 2 other guys that you want to look at. So if you're drafted in the top 6 of your league, you know, top 5, something like that, because you sucked or you made a great trade, there's 2 other guys you want to think about. And they're both not necessarily going to be day one starters. Number one, what do you think, Rusty? David Montgomery of the Chicago Bears.
The Chicago Football Bears. Oh, man. The only thing I'm worried about is that Tarik Cohen's there. They had the, you know, Jordan Howard, he's gone, so that's great. But I'm not a big fan of running back by committee. But what do you think? Do you think Montgomery's got a chance to take over that job in the long run over your Tarik Cohen? Will Tarik Cohen become that scat back, third down receiving back that he's been for the last couple of years, or is he going to stick around for a while?
Well, I think when you get down to it, Tarik Cohen is 2 feet tall, and that makes it difficult to be a long-term running back in this league. So I like him as a pass catcher. I like him as a third down back. I like him as a guy you can pop in a bye week situation. He's not a guy you want to count on in fantasy, and he's not a guy that you can hang your offense on in the NFL. On the other hand, Montgomery, 5'10", 222. This guy is a plow. He can go through traffic. He's going to break people. He's going to get the runs. Once they give him the ball, get him cheat up, he's going to put up yards. Might not happen at first. You know, there's also the guy they signed from Seattle. You know, we'll get there eventually. Montgomery's going to be the guy. You got to be patient with this one. Not as patient as with Kyler Murray. You might actually play David Montgomery this year, but you might not play him until the second half of your regular season.
And that's going along with your theme of there's one guy who you might be able to start this year, and that's it. So I get it. What about that other kid from the Eagles there, that Miles Sanders kid?
Well, if last year, if you missed out on the big Penn State running back, guess what? You got a do-over because we've got another Penn State running back. Miles Sanders is back up to Saquon Barkley. Last year he was the starter. Now he's the somewhere in the middle with the Philadelphia Eagles. What's he going to be? I don't know, but he's got a little bit of everything that you want, and he can play, you know, he can play first down, he can play second down, he can play third down. That means for the Eagles, he might play first down, He might play second down. He might play third down. He might play special teams. He might not see the field at all. This team always seems to have 17 running backs. Will Miles Sanders be the best of them? Possibly. Is he somebody you want to take a shot at? Absolutely.
I like it. I like it a lot. One guy I've got my eye on, and I'm really worried about this kid because I own Todd Gurley in 13 of my dynasty leagues that I'm in, is this Daryl Henderson kid. I'm a little worried that he's that they're worried about Todd Gurley's knee, that maybe those issues he was having at the end of the season are lingering, and that this kid's going to eat into his carries. They're even talking about doing two running back sets, which, by the way, if you ever see a coach talk about running two running back sets with two star running backs, don't believe it, because everybody's talked about it. They never done it. But so I mean, I don't necessarily know I'm worried about that, but I am worried about this kid eating into Todd Gurley's carries and him not being that workhorse back anymore.
I mean, it's a tough call here. I think what we're going to look at is what is Todd Gurley, and that's going to decide everything. Henderson is a good backup. He definitely can play the same similar role as Todd Gurley, but is he going to be a guy who can take over for Gurley? Not unless Gurley's out. And if Gurley's out and Henderson is starting, you've got bigger problems than Daryl Henderson starting. Now, question you might ask is, do I want to take this guy as a handcuff? Some people like handcuffs. I think they're only for going to jail and having sex. So I would not take this guy if I had Todd Gurley. I'd want to take a guy who could play and hopefully Gurley plays as well. But if that's your thing, if you want to have the handcuff, then you're probably going to want to jump on Daryl Henderson, especially if we don't know where Todd Gurley's going to be. You know, he had a good start to the year. He, you know, fell off at the end. They're talking arthritis. That, who knows what that means? You know, we know what a busted knee means. We know what a busted ankle means. We don't know what arthritis means for an elite running back.
And that's why I go, when anyone comes up to me and say, Rusty, you want to join this dynasty league we're doing? We draft in May. I say, hell no, because I do not want to draft guys in May, because too much can happen between now and training camp. And this is exactly why. I don't know what the heck's going on with Todd Gurley. So now I'm just kind of throwing dots at a wall. So that's another reason why I don't like early drafts, for that very reason, Coach. I don't know what you think about that.
No, I want as much information as I can get. So once I know where these guys are going to play, how many touches they're going to have in a game, that's when I'm ready to lay out my picks. So if we look at the rest of the pool here, the only other guy that I think really, you know, stands out as a, you know, could have top potential, Devin Singletary. But here's the key. He's a Kyler Murray too. You want him for next year, because right now he's running behind LeSean McCoy. He's running behind Frank Gore, who's 117 years old. He's running behind the newly signed T.J. Yeldon. I can't even keep these T.Y., T.J.'s, T.B.'s. One of them's running for Buffalo. But next year, McCoy, gone. Gore, gone. Devin Singletary could be Buffalo's starting running back. That's a guy you might want to stash at the end of your bench. Once you get beyond him, we're talking a bunch of guys who are going to be sitting there, and, you know, they might peak with four carries in a game. You know, how many touches is Damian Harris going to get in that crowded New England backfield, Rusty?
Let's see. There are going to be precisely 13 running backs on the roster or any given game for the New England Patriots, and they'll run the ball maybe 35 times, so he might get one or two carries, but he'll get five touchdowns out of those one or two carries on that one game where you don't need it.
Classic Burkhead. Then we're looking at guys who are going to split time, backup time. Justice Hill could be interesting with the Ravens if there weren't 13 other running backs also in front of him. Benny Snell Jr. That's just a fun name to say. Benny Snell Jr. And then my favorite, Bryce Love.
Bryce Love.
Guy, that's a guy. He's a good guy. He's a smart guy. You want to see him do well. And what's he got? Busted knee, and he's playing for Washington. So I hope you enjoy the next phase of your life, Bryce Love, because it sure as hell ain't going to be football success.
Ouch. Well, should we move on to some wide receivers there, Coach?
I think we should, because this is where it gets interesting.
They may not be the 2014 class, but it looks like it could be very close, depending on how these guys perform in training camp. There's a lot of compelling young gentlemen out there that can make a real spark in their offense. Now, I know N'Keal Harry is not high on your list, but I see a lot of folks have him as number one, but who's, you have a different guy as your number one coach, and this is why you won 17 championships. So people need to listen up about why you have like this guy.
Well, here's the thing. All right. There's about 12 guys right now, give or take. All of them could end the season as the best rookie wide receiver in the NFL this year, and that's going to make for a hell of a fantasy draft. All right. As you said, some people like Harry. He's big. He's rangy. He can catch. He's the biggest guy the Pats have had at wide receiver, you know, that stayed with the team for a long time. Josh Gordon, looking at you. You know, they don't have a history of using guys like that. Can he be good? We'll have to see. I think that's one, you know, you're really rolling the dice there because there's always a lot of mouth to feed. And then in the end, James White catches half the balls anyway. The guy I like most coming into the draft in terms of where I thought he would be the most productive, A.J. Brown. That guy is a slot, you know, he's a giant running back in a slot receiver frame. No, other way around. He plays slot receiver. He's built like a running back, and all he does is produce. So naturally, he went to the Tennessee Titans, which if the Tennessee Titans were a color of paint, they would be beige. This is a boring team. It's fantasy death. And now A.J. Brown joins a team that already has Corey Davis. They're already going to run the ball a lot with Derrick Henry. And they overpaid Adam Humphries to play the slot. So where does A.J. Brown play?
See, that's why a lot of times when we're playing fantasy football, especially Dynasty, everyone says, yo, talent over situation. The situation can change. The talent's always going to be there. We're talking about the Tennessee Titans. And the Tennessee Titans are the beiger than beige. And for all the reasons that you talked about, their coach. So that's why I may have knocked A.J. Brown a little bit down in my rankings, simply because it is the Titans. They'll run. They'll throw the ball 18 times a game, and Corey Davis is going to get 16 of those.
That's right. And, you know, like I said, if you're looking at who's the most likely to put up 1,000 yards as a rookie, which is, not an easy milestone, going into the draft, I would have said A.J. Brown. I would have loved to see this guy in New England instead. Well, I'm probably never going to see him because I will not watch a Tennessee Titans football game. So let's talk about, though, the other guy, the other first-round wide receiver, Marquise Hollywood Brown. Now, this guy can run.
Hollywood Brown. Which, and you know by what? The way, if you're calling yourself, how did he get, do we know how he got the name Hollywood? Like, how is he Hollywood already, and he hasn't even made the pros?
He's Hollywood. He's from Hollywood, Oklahoma, I believe.
Wait, there's a Hollywood in Oklahoma?
I have no idea. I do not know that for a fact, but I'm going to guess.
We're going to go with
because
it.
This guy is a star, and you know how we know he's going to be a star? We don't know, because he's going to be catching passes from Lamar Jackson.
Lamar Jackson throws the ball?
No, and that's the problem.
Yeah.
Here's what you're going to get with Hollywood Brown. This guy's got world-class speed. He can break. He can get separation from anybody. He's going to give you like three or four games where he's going to put up 100-plus, 150 yards. He's going to get in the end zone, and he's going to give you twice as many games where he's going to get like three catches for 20 yards, and you're going to be sitting there pulling out your hair going, why is this happening? And the reason this is happening is Lamar Jackson is the quarterback.
A lot of guys went to the fantasy death. We're going to pull one out for them. So what, Coach, what the heck happened to DK Metcalf? DK Metcalf was a guy who was, everyone was talking him up, big physical freak, guy who's, he was going to be a big star, and he doesn't go till, like, what? Where did he go, the third round or the second round?
He landed at the bottom of the second round of the Seattle Seahawks. I'm not really sure what happened with him. You look at that combine footage. You know, that guy is a beast. He is just muscle on muscle on muscle. He can jump. He can run. He's huge. He's got all the physical traits that you want. So what happened? I think people must have watched him play. Problem is, not enough footage of that because he was injured. Neck injury, big guy taking hits across the field. That's not something you want to see. Otherwise, not the strongest route runner. You know, route runner, root runner, whatever you want to say, wherever you're from. But the point is, this guy is maybe the most physically freakish wide receiver we've seen come into the league since, I want to say, Megatron. You know, you go back a few years, we're talking like, I'm not saying he is Megatron. Don't get me wrong. I'm just saying, physically speaking, this guy is a monster. And if he can put it together, if he can produce to match his, you know, his numbers, he is going to be a legendary fantasy football player. Can he produce? I have no freaking idea.
Well, his road to success has opened up a little bit, because this is so the other guys who were great talents in questionable situations, this guy is a questionable talent into a fairly good situation potentially, because Doug Baldwin may never play football again. Now who else you got there? Tyler Lockett, is he still around? If he is, I mean, you got him, but he's a different kind of receiver than Mr. Metcalf. So he's may have some opportunity before other guys.
And you know what? You bring up the best point of all. By sliding to the bottom of the second round, he may have landed in a perfect position. I don't know how much they're going to throw the ball in Seattle to get started, because they've got Chris Carson, they've got Rashad Penny, they've got, you know, Russell Hustle Muscle Westbrook. No, Wilson. Why do I keep saying Russell Westbrook when I mean Russell Wilson?
Are you watching the NBA or something? I thought we were only doing football.
Well, no, if I was watching the NBA, I wouldn't be watching what Russell Westbrook right now, but that's something for another podcast. Russell Wilson can also run the ball, but that guy's got an arm, and he's going to want to throw, because they're not paying him $40 million a year or whatever they're paying him now to not throw the ball. So if he puts it up down the field, there's only one guy he's going to have eyes for. And by the end of the season, that's going to be DK Metcalf. That's the guy I'm targeting in this year's drafts. That's the guy I'm going to go after. He's the rookie I want the most, because I'm not drafting first overall, because I won. I'm not looking for Josh Jacobs. I'm going to try to snake DK Metcalf from some unsuspecting owners.
I like it. I like it a lot. We're going to run out of time pretty soon, but we should run down a couple more of these other wide receivers, like people talking about Deebo Samuel, Mecole Hardman. Mecole Hardman going to the Kansas City Chiefs pretty much says that Tyreek Hill, you're going to be in a lot of trouble.
Well, Tyreek Hill possibly breaking his son's arm says he's going to be in a lot of trouble. Mecole Hardman, he's rough. You know, he's a project, but he's got the same, you know, same talent, same intangibles as Tyreek. Except maybe he's a better human being. Allegedly.
That's not setting the bar particularly high from everything we've learned. Allegedly.
Because here's the other reason. If Tyreek Hill gets suspended, and if Mecole Hardman has a chance to play, do you know why you want to consider him and maybe grab him a little higher than you normally would? Because do you know who the number one wide receiver in Kansas City is right now, Rusty? Do you have any idea?
I'm trying to think. Oh, dear God. It's not who I think it is.
It is Sammy Watkins.
Oh, my.
So if you want to take your 5,000-yard, 50-touchdown quarterback into his second full-time season as a starter, you do not want it to be with Sammy Watkins as his number one wide receiver. And that's why Mecole Hardman could sneak up and surprise a lot of people, but not you, because you heard it here on the Fantasy Domination Podcast.
I love it.
All right. Oh, go ahead, Rusty.
Well, I was going to say one guy I was interested in coming into this was Hakeem Butler. And then Arizona went ahead and picked Andy Isabella and Hakeem Butler. And then you've got Larry Fitzgerald. And you've got, by the way, Christian Kirk from last year, who I own in 20 of my dynasty leagues. So I don't know what I'm going to do with him. They've got about 15 wide receivers on that team now. And as compelling as some of these guys are, there's only so many balls that Kyler Murray is going to be able to throw.
That's right, and based on the way that offensive line plays, there are a lot of balls he's not going to have time to throw.
Oh, let us return to prominence, David Johnson. Let's see all the dump-offs in the backfield to David Johnson, because he's not going to have time to throw to anybody else.
Yep, and see, that's one of the things I think is really interesting about this draft class, is we've had some, you know, a couple of years where it's been, you know, a little all over the place. This is the year if you like a bigger wide receiver. A.J. Brown, he's solid. He's only 6'1". He's on the small side here. You get your Metcalfs. You get your Harrys. You know, you throw in your J.J. Arcega-Whiteside. Get your, you know, Hakeem Butler in there. You've got some big wide receivers. Kelvin Harmon, a guy who dropped a lot later than I thought he would. You've got some big-bodied wide receivers here. If you like them tall, this is your year to stock up. But are any of those guys going to be good? Who knows? Once you're talking guys, could any of these guys be this year's Michael Gallup? Sure. Will any of them be? I have no idea.
All right. So, last but not least, speaking of big guys who catch the ball, tight end. Now, I'm of the mind that tight end is one of those positions that you aren't going to get immediate production from. And usually the tight end class has been pretty bad lately. But this tight end class is actually maybe a little better than most. I'm still not convinced that there's some immediate contribution to be had because of the position. But there's one or two guys that have got people getting all in the bunch because they think, you know, and they're two guys from the same school, which is kind of weird. But I want to get your take, Coach, on these two guys, TJ Hockenson and Noah Fant. Who have you got going as your top tight end?
Well, it's kind of wild to think that we had as many tight ends taken in the first round of this draft as we did wide receivers. And we had twice as many tight ends taken in the first round as we did running backs. That's, you know, says a lot about where the value is in this league. I still don't understand Detroit taking TJ Hockenson as in the top 10, if only because Detroit's history of taking tight ends in the top 10, of which they're the only team that does that, is 0-2 so far. You know, Brandon Pettigrew flamed out, didn't have a, you know, I think he had a few years in the league, but he never really achieved anything noteworthy. And then, of course, Eric Ebron was a complete bust for them until he went to a better quarterback, and he suddenly became the greatest tight end in the league, so great that he forced Rob Gronkowski into retirement.
That's right. So
those are unrelated facts, but that's where we are, as a, you know, in the world of tight ends this year. If you've got Travis Kelce or Ertz, you're sitting in a great spot. You've got an elite tight end who's going to be a difference maker. If you don't have one of those guys, hell, why not take TJ Hockenson? Who knows?
That's right.
You know,
and while, because especially if you lost Gronk, who's now off going to party for the rest of his life, and or form a tag team with Mojo Rawley in the WWE and go after the Raw Tag Team Championships, which I would not put it past him to do that. But he's not around anymore because he's going to be doing that stuff. So Hockenson may be the best guy you have, or Noah Fant.
Yeah, Noah Fant is an interesting choice going to Denver. You know, we've seen in the past Joe Flacco likes to throw to his tight ends, but it could also be because he did not have much else to throw to there in Baltimore. So, you know, I think just based on the mediocre talent level at the tight end position in terms of elite fantasy production, you know, Hockenson's worth a flyer late. Fant's a guy to keep an eye on in your, you know, on your waivers. The only other guy that could be interesting is Irv Smith, because when I think of football players, I think of the name Irv Smith
from Alabama.
Irv Smith Jr. He's not even the first Irv Smith to play in the NFL. I think his role more so, he's going to be helping to clear some lanes for Dalvin Cook, which is great if you're a Dalvin Cook owner. And if you're not, that's a guy you want to get. I'm going to give you a little tease of one of our upcoming episodes. Dalvin Cook is a guy you want to get on your roster this year. Otherwise, tight end position is not very strong this year. And yeah, Hockenson might be good. He might be a top 10 tight end just by the fact that he will play. And that's about the best thing I can say about the tight end position in this year's draft.
All right. I love it. All right, Coach. Well, I think we're starting to get to the end of our inaugural episode of the Fantasy Domination Podcast. You got any other thoughts as we look ahead to our next episode and what we're thinking about in the next week or two?
We're not going to cover rookie kickers. That's right.
Well, you know, Sebastian Janikowski did retire, so I'm surprised that the Raiders didn't take a kicker in the first round again, because that's something that the Raiders have done and will do again, probably.
I mean, they certainly had enough picks to do that. Unfortunately, there were only two place kickers taken in the draft this year. So, let's look ahead. Throughout this offseason, we're going to be on a semi, you know, irregular schedule as we check in when there are things to be checked in on. Once we get into closer to the training camp and that, we're going to be with you on a weekly basis. And then through the season, we are going to give you week-by-week advice. We'll tell you who to pick up. We'll tell you who to drop. We'll tell you who to start. We will tell you who to trade and how to find the sucker in your league. Because I'll tell you what, there's always a sucker in your league. And if you don't know who the sucker is, you know what that means, Rusty?
That means you're the sucker.
That is right. So, let us know what you think, you know. Like and review us on iTunes or whatever platform you're listening to this on. Visit us at fdpodcast.com. Drop us a line on Twitter. Drop, you know, Instagram. I don't know what the heck we're going to post Instagram, but we've got an Instagram. Or email us, fantasyfootballdomination@gmail.com. It's an unwieldy address. It's temporary. But let us know what you think. And if you want help, you want to win your championship, what do you got to do, Rusty?
You got to listen to the Fantasy Domination Podcast.
Absolutely right. So, I'm the coach, my buddy Rusty. We're going to wish you good night, good day, and we will come back to you soon with more great fantasy football advice.
Fantasy Domination.